You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, the province of Gauteng continues to power South Africa's economy, growing at more than twice the national average, and if my numbers are correct, it contributes just over half of the country's GDP growth. Earlier this year, the province also securing investment pledges worth something in the region of 300 billion rand, exceeding its own targets, all well and good. But the picture, I would suggest, is not without shadows. Unemployment sits at around 33.7%. Millions of people remain locked out of opportunity. So let's talk a little more about that. I'm in conversation with the Premier of the province, Panyaza Lesufi. I want to talk a little about job creation and entrepreneurship. So, Premier, the growth numbers are encouraging, but unemployment at almost 34%. How much of those figures actually change daily life for residents?
Well, they do, for good and worse, unfortunately, purely because we are the melting pot of the country. Everything gets grinded here. And I always said when the president indicated his willingness to increase the growth or the GDP growth in our country, say by 1% or 1.5%, it means that we need to do that as a province, because we are the province that is contributing almost half, as you said in our intro, of this growth. So if you take these two into consideration, the growth figures and the unemployment figures, you can see it's a melting pot and the price of being a melting pot of a country. But we are indeed excited that at least we continue to be the economic growth point of the country. But unfortunately, by doing that, you attract people from all over the province and the continent, and in some instances other countries outside the continent, who come here purely because they can see the benefits of being in our province. And that on its own creates lots of things, from housing to transport challenges and many challenges that we're facing as a country, as a province. But we are determined to play our role, and we're determined to be a good contributor to the economic growth of our country.
Investment pledges of over 300 billion does sound impressive, but I wonder how many of those commitments have actually materialized or will materialize into bricks, mortar and jobs.
I was excited that almost 2 months ago, together with the president, the pledges that was made by BMW to open a new highly technology advanced plant was successful. That's almost 5 billion. And it has moved from being a pledge to a practical solution. We are also having two plants that have been opened. We're just waiting for municipal go aheads in terms of the steel factory, as well as another factory that is wanting to bring the energy drinks that we have. So we really believe that these pledges that were made are indeed starting to translate to be investment that will create jobs. We've put up a team that supports them in terms of their needs, either in terms of land authorization or approvals with municipalities, so that we can speed up these things. So we are quite correct. I mean, our target was 300 billion, because before we made a public announcement about our target, we interact with the said individual firms that comes to our area. I mean, as I'm speaking to you now, we had advanced discussion with Cherry, that is standing by to take up a plant that will be left unattended by a certain motor vehicle international company that wants to leave our province. So we engage these institutions and say, here are opportunities, can you join us? I've just returned from an international trip in China, the province of Hunan. They're looking for our agricultural products, and they've indicated that all the necessary tariff charges will be waived. And I mean, that's a 66 million population that is looking for either nuts, avocado, and all other related agricultural products. So to us, it's another market that we want to explore. The Saudis were with us as well. Saudi Arabia had an interest on some of our infrastructure. They want to build this infrastructure on their own, and we can agree on terms of repayment. It's something that we have an appetite. We want to check with our treasury team if it's something that we can commit our province. So there are these opportunities that we think the pledges that we made can be translated to actual investment that can create jobs and opportunities.
Premier, let me pivot back to the comment you made about people seeking opportunities from other parts of South Africa and other parts of the continent, all well and good. We also know that foreign-owned small businesses dominate often retail and services in many townships. How do you empower local entrepreneurs without creating resentment or even xenophobia, which we have seen in the province in the past?
Indeed. is to ensure that the financing mechanisms are well oiled, and also ensure that legislation supports small businesses. We don't have to pile them with unnecessary paperwork and unnecessary processes. If a family-owned business or a SMME have identified an opportunity, we need to ask ourselves, how best do we support them? And that's the energy and the area that I've been asking our teams to ensure that they provide that kind of support. Because if you do that, in most countries, it's family-owned businesses that are creating jobs, that are creating opportunities. But our local government, unfortunately, it's lacking behind. They've got their own challenges. I know we are sitting with a portfolio of many institutions or companies that either want a piece of land or they want to start an initiative, but local authorities are taking time in saying yay or nay. But these people have to continue to service either their loans and other investments. So it's a collective support that we need to provide as government to ensure that we shortened the period of authorization and we shortened the period of giving people the go-ahead to start their businesses.
But paperwork does remain the problem, as you've said, and entrepreneurs continue to cite finance as the biggest barrier. How do you ensure that youth and township businesses then are not shut out by not only the paperwork, but also collateral and credit hurdles? Because unless you can get that right, we just continue in a phase of stagnation.
I always argue, Jeremy, that the best mechanism is to learn from those that have gone through the same pain, you know. And I would call upon institutions that have gone through the same difficulties to be mentors of people that want to enter the space, especially in the townships. We've just passed last year a law called the Township Economic Development Act. We are refining it in terms of strengthening the financing component of it. And we're also pulling skills that we need in the townships, that we think that those are the skills that can unleash economic performance, especially in the artisan industry, those that are bricklayers, welders. We feel that as part of our job creation processes, that's where we need to invest our resources and our energy to then retrain or redevelop their skills so that they can be relevant. So, but the biggest opportunity is to learn from those that have gone through and ask those people to come and plant back to those communities and say, I did it because I did X, Y, Z. I think that will assist us to resolve some of the challenges that are faced by small businesses.
Just a last question then. You've set bold ambitions. What is success going to look like in a couple of years' time? Is it fewer jobless queues? Is it more thriving small businesses? What's going to move the needle here?
There are four areas. One, be merciless on lawlessness and illegal initiatives. It can be selling of illegal cigarettes, opening of illegal liquor stores and other things, or people putting up informal settlements that are not recognized. If you don't do that, you are encouraging people to do things that are going to make the economy very difficult. The second area, which we've already embraced, is to fight crime. There's no one that will come here if they feel they're not safe. And there's no one that will come to a province if they feel their families are not safe or they can't allow their children to grow in our province. So the mere fact that we've reduced crime with 7.6, which is still too high, but at least we've moved the needle, to me it's a sign that we need to work on. The third area is governance. If government systems are not well oiled to accommodate new ideas, to accommodate new growth points in terms of infrastructure growth, we did well when we demolished or removed the e-tolls. That allowed us to for Sunrail to go on the market so that they can expand their roads. They could not do that because they were trapped in that big debt. Now that we paid it, it's resolved, it's removed. You have seen in the last months or so, Sunrail has gone onto the market to raise some funds so that we can, because that's what we need, infrastructure to be unblocked, especially road infrastructure. We are also investing on rail with Limpopo. We met with the minister of transport, both as myself and the MEC, because rail is the new area of huge benefits that can create the necessary job opportunities. So those are the four areas that we think, if we concentrate and work very well, we'll see an uptake of opportunities in our province, and we'll see the economy starting to perform. But if you can't get a crime situation in our province, that's a major backlog. I've been invited by many institutions across the globe. When you go there, they show me the statistics of crime in our country. And they will tell me, I mean, there is a war in Ukraine, but these numbers in our own province are insane. How are we, Premier, are going to resolve that? So we have to work hard to eliminate this lawlessness and crime situation in our province, because if we don't do that, no one would like to come and invest in our province.
Thank you very much indeed. That's the Gauteng Premier, Panyaza Lesufi.